Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening. Happy Monday night to you, friends. We're sure glad you tuned in tonight to your show, Raising Expectations. And as you know, we're here and good things are happening everywhere, and we're excited to see what's going on. But more than that, we're excited that you're here with us tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our family. We love and appreciate you guys, and thanks for the notes you send. So thankful to hear what God's doing in your life in very, very special ways. As you know, everybody on the team here, we are all believers, people of faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God is God in what he says he does. And when he does it, we sit back and go, wow, look at that. It's great to be able to belong to him. We just had a wonderful Easter season where we remember that he died on the cross for our sins and rose on the third day, and he's coming again. But the exciting thing about that, too, is that we know where we're going when we die. Seems like everybody in the world is worried about that, but we're not. We know where we're going. And secondly, we know who's going to walk with us each and every day. So whether we're up or down, inside, backwards, forward, we know, don't worry, just strap in, hang on. God's got something special he's doing in our life. So hang on to your hat. Tonight's going to be a wonderful time as we talk. Very good friends. You've been reading about it and responding to me, and I appreciate that. He's going to be with us in just a moment here. I'm going to take in just a moment here and share the team with you again. I do that each week. Somebody asked once, make sure you do that because sometimes we don't know who they are. And you don't want to miss knowing who these people are. These are really special people. They bless my life each week, and I know they bless your life. So we're going to begin tonight and share the team with you. We're going to go all the way to the east, to the west, first of all, Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California.
Hi,
near Santa Barbara, right?
Near 50 miles.
Tell them what happened today, Paul. It's so cool.
Oh, we had a SpaceX launch this afternoon, and tomorrow morning at 6-something. We're going to have a Firefly launch. So I ran outside, watched that thing fly. It was fun. You know, I just.
You live right by the ocean, right?
So
you
never get old. Yeah. Yeah. It goes out over the ocean. It's a polar orbit over the poles instead of equatorial. So it's pretty, it's really cool. Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome, isn't it? That is really cool. Well, all right. Well, we'll be ready in the morning. We'll give you a call, wake you up, make sure you're all set.
I'll send it your way.
Yeah, right. Call us. Hey, so Paul and I get together, we go all the way back across the nation to the south, the east of there, the south part of the East Coast. We will be with Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, our two friends there in the great state of Georgia. Steph's not there tonight. She's on a special family time, huh? It's real exciting hiking, I think, right, Tank? We can say when.
Yeah, she's in the Badlands, so the Dakotas.
Oh, that's cool. That's where they filmed, what was it called? Dances with Wolves. Kevin Costner. Great movie, filmed it right there. That's awesome. Well, good for her. I hope she has a great time. And so you all know about his wife. She has a great website. Hey, I'm going to take you to our website first. First of all, TJ, our engineer, is so good at this. We wanted to direct your attention to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And it's right here. And you'll find everybody we're talking with here, the team. You can find blurbs about their lives and the picture of things that they're doing. And I take you there right off. First of all, we'll look at it again later. But right now, we want to take a quick look because The site carries the people on our team and what they're doing. And she has a wonderful site called Live Your Life Out Loud. And Stephanie's site is a very exciting things that she's doing and helping ladies all over, counseling and praying with them and just being a very special person in their life. She's a health and wellness coach. She knows all about what to eat and when to eat and how to have it. And very, very important. And she also is a great, like I said, counselor and friend and reaches out to bring great things into the lives of so many ladies across the nation. So remember to check her website, Live Your Life Out Loud. You won't want to miss that. And right next to her, she's not there tonight, but in the spot where he normally is, he's in the center now, is Dr. Craig Thayer. Her husband, he's a great brother in the Lord. He's a great surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon. Read a story today about someone giving a testimony on TikTok about what had happened in his life and how a trauma surgeon worked on him for 7 hours. And I immediately thought about Craig in the times that he has said, God, use my hands to save this life and tell me what to do, Lord. And I think about him every time. And Craig is a wonderful, wonderful brother in Christ, a great doctor. He's a missions doctor too. He not only is a surgeon here in America, but he's gone overseas and helped people as a surgeon and in Africa and in the Caribbean and other places in the Gulf of America there. He's done a lot of things there. And so also he is an author. His book is out. It's on our website. It's called Saved. SAVED, saved. And this is the story you won't want to miss of his life, finding God in the ordinary, the trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. I really like that title because miracles are something we think has to be filling the skies with all kinds of things happening. But actually, I love the way he says you find him in the ordinary things of lives, the miracles that he works. And you'll want to get a copy of his book because you'll get to know Dr. Thayer so much more. And so often we'll ask him questions about things that all of us are being asked, and we bring information back to you. But he'll be back on with his wife doing one of our programs here before you know it and sharing some more things that we're facing today in the nation medically. We're looking forward to that. So that's the Thayers, and they're right there in Dalton, Georgia, near Chattanooga. And so if you come out of there together and head west, as Forrest Greeley said, just keep going west, young man, and you'll come past all the Mississippi and Alabama and northern part of Louisiana. You'll cross the Mississippi there, and you'll be in the northern part of Texas. And there in the Dallas Metroplex, you'll find one of our favorite pastors. Actually, he's no relation to Ron McKinney whatsoever. He lives in McKinney. This is Ron Greer. Sometimes I get going so fast. Yeah. And he's not related, but he's incredible. He's our friend. And he's a guy that's a great counselor and a great teacher. And we just love and appreciate Ron and all the things that he does. He was a pastor. Now he counsels men all over Texas and basically across the nation with his service there as a part of Man in the Mirror. So you'll want to read about him there on our website, the things that he does, and you'll find out there from McKinney, Texas, what Ron is up to. Ron always has a good word, great insight, helps men who goes through difficult times to realize, hey, the best is yet to come. God's just preparing you now in the storm so that you'll really sail when the waters are peaceful beyond what you could believe. So that makes up our team that you could see right there. And all of us are glad that you're with us tonight. We have one of our good friends. He's known for a lot of things that he does. In fact, you've been reading this week. One of the things that you'll find there is he is the first of all, the nation's number one. He's known for this, the nation's number one cowboy fan, the Dallas Cowboys. And he also lives, and that's no small thing. We're talking big stuff here. That's important. So he also started the Black Rhino Protection Agency. You've been reading about that this week. In fact, a couple of you had a couple of questions, and I'm looking at some of the notes very quickly you sent back. And as you may know, we're going to do something different tonight. He does these. He had a great idea. We're going to simply call this a family security briefing. He does briefings with to protect people everywhere and organizations and companies. The Black Rhino Protective Services he founded, and he is so well known for his expertise in this, when President Trump, God reached down and directed a bullet away from him and saved his life there in Pennsylvania. He had so many great insights there. And oh, we have a protection, and you can see he's done such a good job. That's a before and after. And you can see he looks just as young as ever. There he goes, right there. And you find him right there.
Holy flag.
Yeah, actually, TJ, I don't know where you found that, but that's a great picture of Ron. So Ron's situation there, as you know, he's the president and CEO of Black Rhino Group Protective Services. He's counterintelligence threat specialist, investigator, Black Rhino Companies Incorporated. You can find all these things you want to read about him. Black Rhino Group, the American Military University, Mansfield, Texas, which is in the Metroplex. Actually, I think it's between Dallas and Fort Worth. And you'll find so much why we love and appreciate this guy, and why the guys on our team, he's just one of God's special guys, and you'll want to get to know him also. We're so thankful he's with us. So did you get the greatest picture of his whole organization? We want to make sure. Did you all see that? This is a good one. Were you able to put that one up, TJ? Yeah. That's the one that we're sending today especially. There's a unicorn, but a high capacity assault unicorn is a black rhino. You have it right there. And that picture is free from Dr. Hall, a special gift from Dr. Hall just for you to have tonight, Frank. So we're going to give you the round of applause. Let's welcome Frank into the show tonight. And we're so glad you're with us. And
that's a penalty flag. Too soon for penalty flags.
Good call, Frank. Good call.
We didn't tell him that one was coming, did we?
Jeez. Thank you.
I know you'll find a way to use that. As soon as Paul said, look what I found, you got to send this to, I thought, Dan, I got to do this. I have a quick question I'm going to throw out there. And this briefing, this family security briefing, we've been looking at things, and I got a couple things in my notes that you've shared with us in case you're just tuning in, folks. He has gone through things like, we need to be awake and aware of what's going around us. Don't be predictable. He may cover some of these for you. Be aware of your surroundings. Need to play the what-if game. And what does that mean, playing the what-if game? And then after you do all those, he gave us some notes on be prepared and don't make yourself vulnerable. So in looking at some of those discussions, I know you all have some great questions tonight on that. But Frank, it's great to see you. We're glad you're here tonight. Maybe you want to just do an overview of those or whatever you've got ready to share tonight. We're excited to have you with us. Welcome.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. And Ron, I'm glad to hear that you're doing your counseling because cowboy season is coming up.
Yeah, my card fills up, Ron.
As soon as I got over stuff last year, a couple weeks in, and all of a sudden the wheels came off. I appreciate you guys having me. Yeah, we talk about those kinds of things all the time, and I don't think we can talk about them too much because when you're out in public, you see on the news crazy things are happening just in general public. It's not just, targeted things anymore. Now it's just random stuff going on at grocery stores or nightclubs or whatever is going on. So, how about the luckiest criminal on the planet this month, decides to lift the a purse of a lady at dinner on Easter Sunday with her family, turns out to be the director of Homeland Security.
There you go.
Set aside the fact that she has a Secret Service detail that somehow let the guy take her purse. But how about that?
I'm still waiting on that story.
Gentleman that's been here illegally for a long time takes the purse of the Homeland Security Secretary. That just goes to show that even with a Secret Service detail, complacency, lack of imagination, whatever you want to call it, can come in even at that level. So just think, she even said that she felt the purse move, but she thought it was her grandkids messing with her purse. So, if you're in a restaurant with a bunch of people and a guy comes through and can get the secretary's purse. What chance do we have if we're not paying attention, right? Yes. So we've talked about some of the things that you need to do to pay attention. And I think it goes back to the first two things that I was taught back in 2001 when I was first introduced to and started taking the profession seriously and doing security details. And that is prepare for every eventuality. Mm-hmm. If you don't prepare for everything
And that's where the imagination comes in, because the next step is, if I can think of it, the bad guys have already thought of it, right? So if you don't have the imagination when you go someplace, I mean, it sounds weird to think about it and talk about it in a forum like this, but when you're out in public, you're not telling everybody, obviously, so they don't know you're looking at exits and you're looking at the rest of the room and all that kind of stuff. But you have to really pay attention in these days. You know, if you're at the gas pump, there are videos all over the internet of somebody getting out to pump gas. Next thing you know, a couple of guys come in, one takes the car, they don't know there's a kid in the back seat, whatever. I mean, you got to pay attention everywhere you go nowadays. So head on a swivel, you know, that's been a something in our industry that we've done for, you know, everybody talks about head on a swivel, but you got to pay attention. The imagination, if you can't imagine this happening to, if you're standing at a gas pump, look around next time you go to a gas pump or go to a Starbucks or a coffee shop or wherever you go and sit during the day, or if you're early to a meeting, look around you and ask yourself, if something goes sideways, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Most people don't ask themselves that question. So you go in and ask yourself that question, listen to what your brain comes up with. You're looking around and you're going, oh my God, wait a minute. You know, is that chair light enough for me to pick up and toss at somebody? Is it, can I kick it in front of somebody? Can I keep that between me and the door? So if, you know, I mean, you start thinking about these things, and if you do it long enough, you start to sit in areas that you will automatically notice these things, and you know, I had an interview with a new person that's coming on to do some sales for us, and she saved the seat at Starbucks. Never even met me before. Saved the seat at Starbucks, knowing that my back would want to be at the wall facing the front of the room. That's what I'm talking. I mean, if you want, and not everybody can do that. Everybody, you walk into a Starbucks and everybody's lined up around the walls, but someone's got to pay attention. So, I mean, I think that would be the first to your question. The family security briefing is always to look for any possible thing that could possibly happen. Be prepared for every eventuality and have the imagination to understand that if I can think about somebody busting in my front door, interrupting this podcast, and trying to take our dogs. If I can think about that, some bad guy's already thought about that. It may not be my house, but it may be somebody else's house, and I might just be the lucky guy that gets to have some action tonight. But I mean, that's, you got to be prepared for those kinds of things.
Amen. That's right.
Hey, I have to have a question. Because most people, like as you already inferred, most people give no thought to the possibility of some emergency situation happening to them, some life-threatening situation. And it sometimes marvel, I mean, I marvel at it because you look at the most popular movies, most popular programs that people love to watch, and they are all about these crazy FBI. They're all about these random events that happen to people and they end up in these emergency situations. Chicago Fire, Chicago Metal. They watch the programs, and yet outside of the TV program, there's no consciousness at all of things happening in public. What's your take on that? Why that weird psychology? Any idea?
Well, here's one thing that I, this is my obviously just my opinion, but I think people get complacent.
But you're an expert, so we'll take that. That's good.
Well, yeah, I guess. Okay. Touche. Oh, I don't get to say that every day. That's pretty cool. Little things excite me. I think people get complacent. You know, we don't have the problems that they have in Europe. We don't have the problems they have in the UK. I remember being with a family that I was protecting in London. It was between the Ariana Grande concert bombing in 2017 and the outbreak of people driving down the street throwing acid on people. And you know, when you go and your client wants to walk everywhere, walking on the streets of London, you have to be prepared. And you know, I walked the streets of London because she wanted to get her 10,000 steps every day, and I walked the streets of London from 7:30 till 11:30 to 11:45 when we met up for lunch, and I had to go back out again. So I was getting like 30,000 steps a day, which was great for my abs, but hard on the legs. But you have to be prepared for those kinds of things. And you know, you when you're looking at something as simple as just paying attention, everybody can do it. It's not, I mean, I'm telling you because I've been doing it since 2001.
Right.
But anybody on here, anybody listening, can be an expert at it tomorrow just by paying attention. I was walking a client this morning through an area where it was before hours up in Keller, and we're at a place that's closed. We're walking through, but there was a guy just lingering around, kind of walking. Your environment is your friend, and I can see all this guy's movements from all the windows mm-hmm. at the location that we're at. We turn the corner, I can still see the window where he is at walking, and I don't have to change my anything except paying attention to my environment. Everybody can do that at the mall. Anywhere you go, you can walking through a building. There's always some mirrored glass somewhere or something that has a reflection. You can use anything when you're walking around. And it's important to just not be so complacent that this stuff that happens over there can't come over here to us. Because if anything, Allen, the shooting in Allen at the mall up there in Texas, here in Texas,
that
proves, I mean, right, this guy, I still talk about the three pre-event indicators. This guy checked out the mall, figured out the best time, when it would be the most busy, and then came out there and he shot it up. Nobody there was thinking about it or looking to see some guy looking strange or wandering around, you know, keeping an eye on people. Nobody noticed that stuff. But if someone had, it might have been even a security guard. If the security guard was trained well enough to see whether they have video cameras or not there, I'm not sure. But even when he does his patrols, if he was conscious enough to see what's going on, there's every chance in the world that that didn't happen. So the environment and just being confident in just looking around and knowing that some things can happen. A car bomb can happen here. It hasn't happened, but just imagine. I mean, I had somebody ask me that like 5 years ago. You know, car bombing, it was just one in Moscow, killed a general in Moscow, car bombing. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the fear in the United States if someone decided to start doing that over here? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would go crazy because we're sheltered. We don't have that to worry about because we have such protections in place, the border, the military, the Homeland Security folks keep us safe so we can be complacent and shop the way we want and do the things we want. But those things can get scary in a moment's notice.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Craig.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on a roll.
I would say that I think you're right. Among the general public, there's a complacency. And I don't think it's by accident. I'm a conspiracy nut though, but at the same, it's not just the general public. I've sort of noticed the same thing, like you said, among security guards. I don't care if it's a mall or a public place. I watch them every place I go, and there's a sort of like you said, this complacency, this inattentiveness, unless something happens, It actually really irritates me. And I there are a couple of places I've probably got ticked some people off because I've actually voiced my opinion. But it's like, for instance, you mentioned the Allen Mall. So I have a friend whose daughter was there. My other friend's daughter had just left. How long ago was that? They are still traumatized. Both are still doing counseling because of what happened that day. Yeah. And if you talk to them, the both fathers, in their wildest imagination, their deal is they cannot imagine that happening in the United States. And I can't keep, I always ask them, look, wait a minute. So you've had over 600 mass shooting events in the United States since 2023. We've had, I think, 700-800 deaths from those mass shootings, right? We've had, you mentioned car bombs. Las Vegas, to election.
Yeah, there you go.
You've had something like, Buffalo, New York, New Orleans, on and on. And I keep asking, like, Troy, if these things are happening like every year around you, why is it so unconceivable that it would happen to you around? Well, we live in a safe environment. Based on what? Yeah. I just think there's somehow there's this. I don't know if it's television, social media, or even the government I fault. You know, you'd think Homeland Security would always have something available to the public about things to be aware of, but they seem to do just opposite. How do I keep the public from knowing about the threats? For instance, last point, I'm a part of a group down in pound in Dallas, and they mainly focus on national security issues. So the FBI has done this briefing. There are 13 known terrorist organizations here in the United States. I'm going, so why does the public know that? Why don't we know that? Anyway, sorry, I'll get off my deal here. I just think there's something to me that doesn't make sense. How we get to this complacency and how it stays there, it just boggles my brain.
So you touched on something that has been kind of a thorn in every trained protection guy's side. Mm-hmm. Entire career, the security industry. Hopefully this doesn't go viral because I'm going to explore a couple things here. So in the security industry, they have so many security companies, for instance, in Texas that are just popping up, right?
Right.
So clients want to pay a certain amount of money. Companies want to make a certain amount of money. And when you do that, you end up with an $18 an hour guy that's been trained for less than a week, carrying a gun, with a uniform on. Mm. Doesn't know and is not trained to do these certain things. It's here, fog up this mirror and you're in, right? Put a uniform on him and they put him to work, right? So it's why we're seeing a lot of growth, because not all security companies have to be the same. Because I will get requests, I see requests. Mm-hmm. Do you have a uniform guy to do this? No, I don't. I don't have a trained guy that I can put in there for tomorrow. You give me a week, I'll get you a top-notch guy that's trained, set up, all of his gear, and I'll put him in place. Right. If you ask me for a protection agent, that's different because we go through different training. Right. Now we have a couple of guys that are former Secret Service. We have myself, who's been advanced operations leads since 2001. We have a gentleman on the team who's a weapon specialist. You throw out the name of a weapon, he'll tell you how it works and what it is and what it does. Wow. You throw out the name of a drone. You know, we got drone technology now that can attach to a license plate and follow them around. So it comes down to, in the state of Texas, to be a protection agent, personal protection officer, level 4, is basically just a security guard with plain clothes. Mm-hmm. They put you through a day or a day and a half or a half a day of hand-to-hand combat with a baton. They teach you how to do the handcuffing. You go shoot one day, and boom, they get a level 4 certificate. They got companies here that actually give guys a certificate just for paying money.
Yeah.
We don't put those guys to work. Those are the guys you're talking about, Ron, that you'll go to some place like a store or something. You'll see an armed guard out front there. That guy does not have any portion of the behavioral analysis. He doesn't have the threat assessment. He doesn't have any of the stuff that it takes to see something coming, to see the pre-event indicators, to do that. And that's because the company wants a certain, or willing to pay a certain wage.
Right. And that wage isn't,
you know, you're getting what you pay for.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You're getting what you pay for. They're a level 2 guys. They just put in a uniform or a uniform shirt, tucked or untucked, whatever. I've seen it all in a lobby of a building and they're getting $12, $13 an hour. What chance does anyone in that office building have with someone that isn't trained? It's not the officer's fault. They just want work. They want a wage that they can go feed their family. They may have to work two or three different companies to do that.
Yeah.
But what chance do the CEOs in that building or the company, the small businesses in that building have with that kind of non-training down in the lobby? Mm. You pay for get a little higher pay rate. You're paying you guys $35 an hour. You got guys that know what they're doing. They can evaluate somebody that comes through the door. They can tell if he's acting crazy. You know, the indicators are there. You can see they have somebody that's on point with their training and have been doing this for a long time. We train outside of what the state of Texas trains us with driving, advanced work, all that other stuff. And that's why we're growing. And some companies, I'll tell you, all you have to do is go to one of those security pages on Facebook.
Yeah.
One of the owners on there. And then go to their personal profile, and they're there half dressed, drinking beer, doing this, doing. I mean, how in the world do you take it seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's the kind of person they put out on the streets. that are driving in a security car in Allen, or the place that I was at this morning, driving down in a car that was provided by the facility. But if something happens, look, I've been in doing jewelry escorts. Our company's been doing jewelry escorts for a while. And when I train somebody, I take them there and I show them how to do it. We've been standing there in front of a jewelry store before the mall is completely open. Nobody's in there. Security guard just walks by, does his little check of the thing, doesn't ask us what we're doing there, doesn't look at us, doesn't give us a second look, could care less, doesn't stop and look at, wait over there and see what we're doing. Yeah. I just walk by two guys that are dressed tactically, so to speak, concealed carry, obviously, but tactically looking. And this thing is there in front of a jewelry store before anyone's there. No one else is there. That's what we have out in the field right now. And it's not their fault. Again, it's not their fault. They're told how to do that, what to do, and we're told how much to pay them.
Yeah, I got a thought somebody said, but Craig, you had a thought too. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You mentioned drones. There's an increase in privacy and security breaches of our personal nature, right? The micro cameras and the trackers for luggage or whatever you put it in, basically. Any advice along those lines? Would you carry one of the detecting pens or?
Oh, I do have one right here.
Yeah.
So I carry in my bag one of these, right? So wherever I go, and then I learned, and I've been doing it for years. There's different versions of this. You get newer ones. But every time I check into a hotel room, I do that. And I'll tell you, the year that the Super Bowl was in LA recently. The gentleman that I protect for the Super Bowls, we stayed in Beverly Hills, the Omni Hotel for the NFL's downtown. And so we're far away from it. They don't even have banners in Beverly Hills for that kind of, for the Super Bowl or anything. But I still check the room. When I was with a family in Northern California, we had guard dogs, and I traveled with one of them, and I'd have the dog with me to go through the stuff. And we found stuff in rooms that were left there by previous people, pornography, stuff like that, that we turn over to the hotel. So it doesn't come back to our client that stuff was there. Most people don't do that. Check the top of the shelving and all this stuff. There's no hide anywhere under the beds. But at the Super Bowl that year, I cleared our room. We're checked in about 5 days. We get there really early. So about 5 days later, a friend of mine checks into the Omni Hotel with his client, and they find a recording device and a video camera in their hotel room, in the NFL official hotel.
Wow.
So they have to move him out of that room. They have to clear the room. They have to find out how and when, who was there before. Was it the client that's moving in there that was targeted, or was it somebody else? So you got to check. I mean, if you can, these aren't – they have – inexpensive. These aren't expensive because I leave them some places and they get broken in luggage and run over and stuff. But, you know, you have the little pens too. I got a little one about that big that I can go around it and search if it's my hotel room. And you always want to be mindful of that, but also you want to be mindful and make sure no one can get into your room while you're in there. And then you want to set some areas where you have your stuff. You know, sometimes I put stuff in an area like my backpack, and I'll put something on my backpack in a certain way. So when I come back, I know that it hasn't been messed with, right? The logo is still face up, not face down or tilted side or something like that. So there's always things that you can do like that. It happens at the, it doesn't matter if it's a Motel 6 or the Omni or a West End or something like that, or Waldorf Astoria, that happens everywhere, level hotel. And it's just a matter of being, aware. Anything extra plugged into a wall, you know, they got USB blocks that you plug in your USB port to charge your phones, that somebody left their USB, no, take that out of the wall, crush it, throw it outside, because they have cameras in those. They have cameras in all kinds of different things, and you know, drones are becoming a bigger thing. I'm excited about the technology we have now where we can do surveillance or counter surveillance on clients or with clients, where we have a drone locked onto their license plate for an hour and 45 minute battery life. And we can swap out the drone by popping another drone out of the moonroof, and that drone tracks it. So we don't have to be as close to the car. And it makes us a little bit safer, allows us to do other things to make sure other people aren't around, that kind of thing. So we're not just focused on the car ahead of us, but we have some pretty cool technology coming out that kind of tries to keep up with it, but I think the U.S. overall is behind in drone technology.
Yeah.
I wrote a paper in 2014 or 2016 about the drone technology that the Russian spy services have been using to carry weaponry, and they make it out of carbon fiber, so it's super light, and 3D printing them. And now look what's been happening with the Ukraine war the last couple of years. They're using drones. I saw awesome footage, not awesome, but scary footage today of a drone being taken out by another drone in midair. I mean, that stuff is amazing stuff. But I wrote a report, a counterintelligence report on it back in 2016, and we were way behind then, and we're behind being able to keep up with what the drone technology is today.
I've even seen ads for home security of like made this supposedly military technology and kind of quality of stuff for it being pretty solid under $100. That's pretty crazy.
Hey Frank, quickly also. So you mentioned hotels and listening devices, recording devices. What would you tell folk about, the popular thing of Vrbo's and Airbnbs? What about the threat in those places where you're staying in privately owned buildings and so forth,
Well,
homes?
I would tell you that and I would never put my family or a client in a home owned by somebody else, even if it's one of ours or a client's best friend, if that tells you anything.
Hey,
You just don't know. You just don't know because it could be somebody that it may not be the owner, but how often is the owner in their own Airbnb? Because they go from one person to one person. It could be somebody three residences or three tenants away that put something in the vent in the shower or in the little light socket thing or whatever. It could be anything. A hotel, you have a little bit more security in that area because the hotel's reputation is on. They're gonna it's a little bit different. And then the Omni Hotel shut the room down. Their security took over. They did the whole kit and caboodle. You find one in there in a private residence on you're risking their whole business, right? What is that owner going to do? Is he going to deny it? Is he, they're just going to cause it's just going to cause some problems. I would that comes down to the being over not overly cautious, but erring on the side of caution. Can something more likely happen in a private residence where you don't know who's been there before and planted something before when the owners are not even in there, or in a hotel where they come and clean it and have a manager come check the rooms and make sure they're done properly and do inspections periodically to make sure things are all where they're supposed to be. I mean, it just to me, and even though we also check hotel rooms, we check the residences, and we use drone technology doc to do the perimeter. We'll zoom it around. We'll take some video. We'll see where the soft points are on the residence, but it allows us to do an aerial version of it and then show the client, this is what we're thinking. You got open gates that come in over here, this kind of stuff. When we do our initial, because we'll start with the residence. If we're protecting a new family, we'll start with the residence. What kind of security camera system do you have? What kind of perimeter protection do you have? And then branch out for there. And we use the drones for that.
Well, I thank you for the answer, but being an owner of a short-term rental property,
Oops.
not quite
Sorry.
the
Sorry.
Now, mind you, we are owners, but when I go, I'm the paranoid schizophrenic guy. And
Oh,
I
see,
well,
they're not all
when
like
I go, I'm paranoid. I check
you.
every single.
See, they're not all like you. We've run across some that people have stayed in that the owner was like, get out, somebody else is coming in this afternoon, and you complain about something and they get grumpy and gripey. And no, I mean, rent from Ron.
Yeah,
You're
there you go.
Rent from Ron. Yeah, that's snappy.
Look at t-shirts, rent from Ron.
Paul, you got a question? I bet
I
you.
was just, Frank, when you first started talking, you talked about how things have kind of ratcheted up in our country. And I read an article today, and it was an interesting article. It was on the Federalist and written by Brianna Lyman, to give her credit. She was talking about that the country has a violent culture, and it's being propagated by those who are in authority, like politicians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not to pick on or pick out names, but Hakeem Jeffries, I heard him say he had this sit-in on the steps for 12 and a half hours. And his statement was, there are two parties in the United States. There are patriots and terrorists. Or patriots and traitors, not terrorists, traitors. And I'm thinking that kind of speech has a way of ramping up. It kind of makes you ask the question, right? Well, how am I seen? Am I a traitor or am I a patriot? Depending on their position. But the question is, have you noticed personally that ramping up? Working with families and people that you're protecting. Are you a little more cautious than you were? You're a professional and an expert. But have you noticed that you need to take maybe more precautions than you have in the past? Or how is that working for you?
Well, I'll tell you, the CEO assassination in December changed a lot of opinions. I've heard of a lot of we work with a firm that is helping Black Rhino grow. We've gone from an LLC now to a C Corp with a board of directors and board advisors and all that kind of stuff. And part of it is because of that CEO and the interview I did on CBS Dallas and a Fox News interview on the subject. And it's not getting any better. And yes, we do take extra precautions. We have families that were not particularly thinking about security before. And then when they find out that they can have a security driver take them to dinner, to a fancy ball or some charity thing, hang around, have a guy, the driver is a protection officer, be there at the event with them, and then take them back home, and they look at the bill and it's less than the $175 an hour limousine that just sits out in the parking lot and does nothing and drives them from point A to point B. That's a shift in their mindset that they, wait a minute. Maybe we should do that, because last time we went to this hotel, we had problems or protesters out front or whatever. That's a dynamic that's going to be changing dramatically. And we've noticed even in Dallas-Fort Worth, there's a good friend of mine that worked for me at another at a detail with Samsung that has had his own driving company, and he's a protection agent. And he will do those types of things, and he will drive clients, but he's a trained protection guy. And he drives them in an SUV. I don't know what he charges or anything, but I know for us, we're almost half of a little less than half than of the limousine, $175 an hour. And if you had another guy, you can probably have two guys for the same price of having a limousine driver just take you and drop you off. And when people find that out, there's that extra step that CEO can take. But I was on a State Department. We're a member of OSAC, the Overseas Security Advisory Council. We're full members of that. So we get State Department briefings. And about a month and a half ago, we did one on the state of executive protection worldwide. 68% of CEOs in the United States that have protection or need protection don't have their families covered or their residents. So you're protecting the CEO basically at work. But that CEO goes home with his family to his house, and there's nothing. Right. If there's such a threat where the company is forcing him to have security at work, why in the world is 70% of those have their families not secured? Somebody sitting in the driveway 24/7. You drive down the street in Dallas where Mark Cuban lives. There's always a couple black SUVs there. That's the security team. Whether Mark is there or not, there's somebody there watching the house. That's one, and that is a vulnerability. So luckily, that's one of those things. I thought of it. OSAC has thought of it. They decided we're going to have some Secret Service, FBI, do a briefing on it. We've all thought about it. Guess what? That means the bad guys have thought of that. The bad guys know that, right? So that's something. That's an example of where we are in the state of protecting families, whether you're a high-value CEO or a high-profile CEO. Marissa Mayer used to get called in every time she got a threat and sit in front of her house 24/7, walking with her and her husband and the new baby at the time. When we had protesters in the Yahoo courtyard and her actual team that was on duty constantly all day with her, didn't know that they needed to advance the property she was going to next for a board meeting, where the protesters in the courtyard were protesting her very existence of being on that board.
Yeah.
So that goes to back to the security thing. Those guys were protecting a high value CEO and didn't have the skills to understand, or the knowledge or the training to understand, that if they're protesting at the Yahoo headquarters, they're going to be at the board meeting too. And we had to evacuate her out the back of the door, back of the hotel, in an emergency fashion. She was never in danger, but the owner of the company had to be called in. Of course, I was at the house. I was doing, you know, and I had to rush over there. We had to get her out of there because they weren't prepared. So even the security people, you have to make sure you interview with the team, because not all protection companies are the same. It's all based. Everyone has a different level. All four of you guys, if you were to hire a protection agent, I guarantee all four of you, if I sat down with you, would have a different experience that you wanted.
Yeah.
Have it in your mind exactly how you'd want to be protected, and it would all be different. And that's the important part, because it's not a cookie cutter, fog a mirror, put them in the driveway, or right, you know, say, oh, I'm protecting the CEO, right, if you don't know what you're doing.
Hey Frank, could you give some quick tips for just the everyday average person, security? I mean, to kind of shift your security mindset and your awareness, what would be some of the quick tips you could give everyday people?
The best tip, I think, that resonates most with the people that I talk to in the classes on situational awareness that I give is the 21-foot rule.
Okay.
And the history of the 21-foot rule is, in California, they had a more stringent training system for guys that do what we do. Twice a year, we had to get together, do shoot, no shoot videos. We had to do scenario stuff. And the school that I was at was owned and operated by a couple of guys that protected Reagan back in the day. So they taught us some stuff, right? So the 21-foot rule basically is, if anyone gets in, and we the FBI every year does testing on the 21-foot rule. So it's an FBI standard thing. So anyone gets in your 21-foot or in, doesn't matter how much training you have, doesn't matter what you're carrying on you, what weapon, how fast you draw, how fast you can pull your knife. If your knife is in your hand, you might have an advantage. But the person can get to you faster than you can pull out anything you got in that 21 feet. So to prove that point, I went on a show here called Hello Mansfield. The mayor of Mansfield is one of the hosts, and a wonderful lady named Lynn. And I had them do that in the last segment of the show. And the mayor had a pencil or a pen in his pocket. He knew he had to draw that pen as soon as Lynn started running at him. He knew it was coming. We told him it was coming. We just did it with Lynn. She started running, and he couldn't get the thing out of his pocket. And that's not a threat,
right,
from 21 feet. So anyone that gets in your 21-foot thing, it's going to sound morbid, you have to have a plan to take them down.
Right.
Someone gets in. Now, there's obvious areas that you can't do anything, elevators.
Yeah.
But there have been times where I've told a client, let's hold on and wait for the next elevator. And she looks at me and says, that's a good call. Yeah. Or take the stairs by ourselves. There's, you know, sitting next to an airplane. You know, there's certain situations you can't avoid somebody's being that close to you. But when you're walking down the street, when you're at the gas pump, when you're in certain areas where you see crimes happening, you can make sure your 21-foot space is clear, and your radar needs to go up if anyone gets near it. The other thing is the pre-event indicators, the rule of three. I like to call it the rule of three. Right. You see the same guy following you at the mall three times, go find somebody. It just as a precaution, go to the security office. It's always a good idea, just if you are walking around the mall and you know you're going to go around a couple of times and look at all these shots, find out where the security office is, or if there's a police substation in the mall, or a place where you can go do something. Same thing if they're following you in a car. If you see the same car behind you too long, you know, when you pull into the neighborhood, and you know your neighborhood, and somebody behind you, that car does not fit your neighborhood, or that car has been behind you since you left the mall or the bank. Don't go to your house.
Right.
Drive around. Right. Keep driving. My wife does occasionally. I love her for doing that. I mean, that's cool. I actually taught her something instead of having to get taught everything. And, you know, being retrained and everything. And So she notices those kinds of things. She noticed it beforehand, but those are just little things. And then you got the last thing is to trust your gut, because if you look at somebody and you get a bad feeling about them, and I used this example the other day. I've been a member of my chamber of commerce for about 4 or 5 years now, right about the time COVID hit. There are people there, and I don't know how to explain it. There are people there that I'm in this meeting for those 4 or 5 years. Nowadays, I'm not in it as often, but there are people at the chamber that I can get around it, and I am completely uncomfortable around, and I've known them for that length of time. But there's other people I walk in there, and we're hugging a hand and bumping fists and doing all this kind of stuff, and I know him less, or I see him more. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a something that the there's a program I think I referred to before as the Marine Corps Combat Hunters Program that was created by General Mattis. The civilian version of that, I did the training in 2010, and now I've been certified as an instructor for that a couple years ago. It goes through the feeling your gut, feeling, okay, this guy's giving the hairs on the back of my neck are standing. Walk out. Just go somewhere. Your cup of coffee can wait 20 minutes until that person takes off and leaves. Those little simple things right there could change an outcome of a story.
You mentioned General Mattis, right? What is it? Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet that you have.
I said that at, I use that as our motto at a networking event, and the lady goes, "Oh my."
Guys tonight, you got the
But
guys. Yeah. Yeah.
that's an awesome quote. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
By 21 feet, I got a plan to kill you.
I heard another Marine, an interesting approach. So he's like, you see threat, run. I mean, he's a Marine. You think you're like, okay, I'll just fight. No. But he says, run. That's my best defense. But once I've been grabbed, then it's game on.
Yeah, and you know what? I have a good friend of mine. He was in the military. He's the guy that knows everything about guns. We're trained to get our clients out of there. That's what protection agents do. That's why normal law enforcement or regular military guys, when they get out, they have a struggle being a protection agent and being successful at it, because the guys that I was, some of the guys I was trained by, and the ones that worked for Reagan in the old days, they had to take 6 months special training to get into the Dignitary Protection Division. They didn't just come off their beat out of the car and go and protecting somebody. They got their training too. So it's when we're trained, what we're trained to do is be proactive. So we get the guys out of there. Now, Kevin and I, we used to go to the same networking meeting and sit next to each other, and I was, we get the 30-second commercial. I'm Frank. I did personal protection. I did protected so and so. So da, da, da. And then he would pop up. Yeah. And when he left with his client, I'm the one that stayed behind to shoot. That's what he did, right? The first time that we met was out in California, and he was on a quick response team when my congressman that I was protecting would fly in with the president. He would be there in case something happened. I'm getting my client out of there, even though sometimes he went to the wrong meeting. But we would leave, and he's staying behind. He's the law enforcement guys are the ones, the third, second and third rings that stay behind to fight and to find out what happened and do all that stuff. Well, the inner circle guys, we're in the back of a car and we're out of there to a secret location or back to the red. So running is not a bad idea. Running is not macho. What we're trained to do, what Secret Service is trained to do, DSS is trained to do, all the top protection agencies in the world, they don't stay there and fight. I have one handgun I work with all the time because I'm an advanced guy. I don't go to the range and shoot the long guns and stuff, and people used to tease me all the time. When we go to the range to shoot, all the other guys got their long guns and stuff. I don't need that. I'm just advancing, right? I'm just telling you guys where to go and put plans together. You guys are going to stay behind and while we're driving away. So it's not a bad thing to look at a situation, whether you're a Marine, whether you're whatever, to walk away and go. We need to go. It's not a bad thing at all.
Amen.
Frank, we sure appreciate you. Boy, this is really interesting. I've got some buzzes and checks, and people are really First of all, the picture of the overall, what you do now, the leaders in the nation, everything, and then corporate leaders, the people that we pray for, many of them. And then all of us where we live, everyday good old backbone America. What do we do? Like Ron was asking you, we need to be away. Ron's been this way since I've known him. I just say, way to go. Or sometimes I speak in English and say, tally ho. But that's really good, huh, Ron? Just to keep be awake of that. I know Rosalind loves that, but in any event, we double team with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take just a moment here. Tank, usually Stephanie gives a quick word for us, and we only have just a couple of minutes. But do you want to say that, or would you like me to? You?
No, I always hand it off to you, sir.
Oh, you do?
You're better at it.
Yeah, well, just a quick word. Folks, we're so glad that you're with us tonight. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate you. We're just thankful that you're here, especially with wonderful folks that God allows us to bring, like Frank being here with us tonight. If you go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll find a way that you can help us out. We don't usually talk about this. Stephanie shares with it, but there's an opportunity for you to make a gift or donation to help us. There's a code there. All you do is, wow, I watched that thing work. It's pretty neat. And if God leads you to help keep us on the air, it costs to keep these things going. Just paid a big bill recently and covering all these things. But we love BBS Radio. We love the people who run it. We love our engineer, all these guys. So it just takes some time. And if you feel led of the Lord to help us this way, maybe a little bit each month or just a one-time gift, we'd appreciate it. It's right there, a donation scan on Venmo, or you can go to PayPal. It's also on there. And you can also read on this site all the things that are coming up. You're part of the family. You can read what we do. You can read about our programs all the way through. This program will be right there under this date. And if you have a thought about maybe a question with Frank you missed, go back and find him when he was here with us like 4 months ago. We try to bring Frank every quarter. The books are there. Everything is on there for you. So we'll invite you to be a part of that. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And thanks for considering helping us this way. And thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Love every one of you. Frank, we're so thankful for you, and we're so thankful for Chrissy. She's feeling better. We've been praying for both of you, and what God's doing, blessing Black Rhino. It's awesome, simply awesome. And your killer dog had a birthday. That's fantastic. Yeah, there we go. There's the rhino right there. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember to pray for Frank. He has a big burden on his shoulders. He helps a lot of people this way. It's very important. And all of us here on the program, we say good night and thank you. Ron, it's always good to see you, brother. Good to see you again.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
For me, okay. You too. Good to see you, Paul, Dr. Hall, and there's Tank and Dr. Thayer. And have a blessed and a wonderful week. You're in our prayers, and may God reach you at the deepest points of your needs, not just so he can remind you who he is, but so he can help you stand in awe of what he can do in your life. Love you guys. Thanks so much. Thanks again.
Bless you guys. God
Thanks,
bless
Frank. You. Good to Thanks, see you all.
Guys. Thanks, Frank.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.